We are going to speak about Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Emunah, and we're going to lead into Bitachon into next week, and I think the week after that will be our last schmooze for a while until after Pesach. I think we only have three left altogether. But this is one that I've given before. It's based on Rav Elchanan Wasserman. So if you've heard it before, I apologize. It was over, I think it was 3 years ago when I last gave it. But it's the same basic idea. I just want to go there. And the truth is, I'll tell you honestly, I personally have never really had an issue in believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that I don't have any questions and I don't have any issues when it comes to Emunah. Obviously, everybody does. There's questions no matter how you look at it. But this is something that I never felt the need to answer all of my questions. I was perfectly fine with asking them and not getting an answer immediately. I was normally fine. See, I'm usually fine with these types of things because I don't mind brooding over them when I'm in the middle of nowhere doing nothing. So when things are just happening and I'm not going to listen to commercials on the radio and I'm sick and tired of listening to Shwaki, so at some point, right, when you're just driving around, usually these questions pop up in your head, these little things, and you start thinking about them. And I'm okay with not getting an answer immediately, of just sort of saying like, okay, I guess we'll figure it out in the next car ride or the next wedding or the next whatever it is. We'll try to figure these things out as things go on. And I, for some reason, I just don't feel like I should just go ahead and start eating pork just because I have a question inside my head. I don't know if that's true about everyone. And the truth is, that same idea is what you do for marriage. If you sit there in marriage and you just get upset or you have a question that you don't think can be answered, if you think that the solution is running out, running away, and saying like, all right, I'm not going to deal with this right now, and that's that, that's just not an answer to anything. It takes a lot of patience, not only to answer your own questions, but also to deal with the marriage, to deal with all the different things that are there. Sometimes, and in the wife's mind always, you're the one that's wrong. So it just takes you a while to be able to realize that. At first, you sit there and you think that she's wrong, and then you realize that it doesn't matter if she's wrong, you're still wrong, and then you figure out some way for you to be wrong and still right at the same time, and you just deal with it. Right? You just have to have patience, that sablanut, to be able to relax and calm yourself down and say to yourself, okay, consider all your options that are available at the moment and consider what you have and then go for the best idea. But when it comes to Emunah, this just wasn't an issue. And it could be that the reason why is because the gematria of my name, Tzvi, is the same gematria as Emunah. It is. It's 102 altogether. That's definitely possible. I think that's a very likely one. It could just be a crazy coincidence. That's possible. But my name also stands for Tzadik Bemunaso Yichyeh, which means that I only live through my Emunah, and I'm a Tzadik, so I'm just saying. So I totally get that. That also could be a crazy coincidence, but I think not, clearly. So I don't think that's an issue. But not everyone can be like me, and I understand that. And for that reason, we have to start understanding, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want with our Emunah? What does that mean? So this is how Rav Elchanan starts in his Kovetz Mamarim. In Kovetz Mamarim, he has a piece that deals with this. And really, the truth is, you can't really think yourself through until you go through this piece. This is a tremendous piece. So he starts off with four questions. His first question is the following. He says, the pasuk that we say every morning, Lo sasuru acharei levavchem b'acharei inechem. Lo sasuru acharei levavchem zu minus, says the Gemara in Brachos. This refers to minus, that a person should never be an apostate. A person should never start believing in other gods or have any type of shituf involved in what he's thinking. He has to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and have that pure emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo sasuru acharei levavchem, after your heart. And the way that that's the way the Gemara Brachos understands it. Rav Elchanan asks them that and says, I don't understand. It shouldn't say lo sasuru acharei levavchem. If we're talking about minus and emunah and your issue with believing or understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's in your brain. It should be lo sasuru acharei mochachem. Don't turn after your brain. Don't think about the bad things out there. Don't consider them inside your head. What's the pshat behind lo sasuru acharei levavchem, referring to minus? That's where the apostasy is. The apostasy's central hub is in your heart. How could that be? That's the first question it says. Number two, the first mitzvah, according to the Rambam, is leida ulahamin shiyesh Eloha, that everybody should know and believe that there is a God. Ask Rav Elchanan. I don't understand. If you don't believe in God, how can there be a mitzvah to believe in God? How can you force a person to believe in something? You want to tell them to do something? You can give them a mitzvah to do something. Go give tzedakah. Put on tefillin. Wear tzitzis. I get that. You can tell a person to do something like that. How can you tell a person believe? What, you're going to just shake him until he believes it? What does that mean? You can't automatically believe in something. You either do or you don't. If you do, great, you get the mitzvah. If you don't, how are you supposed to accomplish this mitzvah? What can a person do? There's no process in getting to this mitzvah. What's the suggestion on the Rambam that a person can get to be able to do this mitzvah? That's the question that you have to ask on such a thing. How could that be an actual mitzvah saseh to tell us what to do? Number three, great philosophers have spent their entire lives trying to answer if there's a God, why there's a God, what is God? They've asked this question for years. Greek philosophers, Roman philosophers, current philosophers, many, many people have asked it. These people are not dumb. They are very, very smart, probably smarter than all of us to combine. A lot of these people have IQs that are in the 180s to 200s, yet they never, ever figured it out. They couldn't. After years and years of painstaking research and all the attempts that they made to be able to go through Aristotle, who the Rambam says was as close to a Navi as could possibly be had in a human form by a non-Jew, if that's the level of Aristotle, and he wasn't able to figure out that there's a God. How in the world, says Rav Ochanan, are we expecting a 13-year-old boy and a 12-year-old girl to get up the next day and automatically believe in God? How can that be? The greatest Chachamim couldn't figure it out. So we're expecting a little kid to figure it out all at once? And this is a mitzvah that they're all chayavim. You turn 13, you immediately believe in God. It has to be there. How could we expect that from them? What kind of an expectation is that? Even if you're a great Chacham, that's not a guarantee. So what does that mean? And number four, we know that there are Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach, seven mitzvos that every non-Jew is, they must keep in some way, shape, or form. Do they know that? Do we go tell them that? Have you ever heard of a Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach seminar? And I'm sure there is one in like Texas, but like in normal places, are there any places where they have? I'm sure. But Sheva Mitzvos, there's none. Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach. How do they know? You have, just imagine for a second, you have a guy who lives in the remotest parts of Tibet or China. And after 120 years or less, he goes up to Shemayim, right? And he goes in front of the pearly gates. And it's the Malachim there, and the Malachim are sitting there judging his case, or the Beis Din Shamayla is judging his case, and they say, you didn't keep the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach. And the guy says, what? He's like, there are Jews, and the Jews have the 613 mitzvos, and you have the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach. What's a Jew? He's never heard of a Jew before. He's never seen a Jew before. He may have made toys that we have bought at some point, but he has no clue what a Jew is. He would have no idea. Even if he saw you, he would have no idea. You could even tell him, like, no, you didn't hear the horns. They have never heard of anything. And these people are supposed to keep the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach. How is that an expectation? How is that a fair expectation of anyone that they should keep Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach? How are they supposed to know? These people are grown and steeped in Avodah Zarah. Wherever they are in the world, they're really expected to know not to keep Avodah Zarah. That's what their parents taught them. That's what their grandparents taught them. That's what they've done their entire lives. How in the world are we supposed to expect them to be something different? Says Rav Ochanan, one of these questions should answer all four of them. If we're expecting a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old kid to do this, it must be, it has to be, that Emunah and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the simplest mitzvah out there to do. You could not ask a 12 or 13-year-old person to think something through if it wasn't absolutely painstakingly simple. It's got to be that way. Because, and it can't also, it must not matter how smart you are or how dumb you are. Because we don't have this dumbed down for certain people and wizened for other people. It's not like there's different levels. It's one level. Believe in God, and it's just there for everyone. It has to be that every single person, no matter what their intellect is, no matter what their level is, have not just the ability, but the requirement to believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's there. It's absolutely there. So what is it? So we know the inkblot test. The inkblot test is that if you would take a massive thing of ink and throw it on a piece of paper, You could do it a trillion times. You will never come out with this right here. You just won't come out with it, right? So if you ask the question, how did this happen? If somebody tells you, you'll never believe it. I took ink and it went like that, and this came out. And then I took ink and it went like that, and this came out. You'll say you're a liar. Clearly you're a liar. There's no way that this could have happened without human intervention, without someone doing something and making it happen. There's just no way. It can't happen otherwise. That's what anybody would tell you. That's the ink blot test. Well, there's no way this could happen without there being someone in charge. It's impossible. There's no way that the world could exist without anything else. You ask any little kid with any seichel, and the problem is, and this is the real issue, a little kid is born into the world without seichel and without intellect. And therefore, he grows up in a world that he just expects to be there. So by the time he starts thinking, he expects the world to be there already. There's no questions about who made the world. It just was. It is. There's no reason to think about the why. But if a kid would be born with intellect, if there would be a baby who comes out of his mother's stomach with the ability to think, he comes out of the world, the first thing he's going to say is, who made all this? This is awesome. Who made everything? Oh, this building? This is created by a number of very, very silly people that made a huge dome like this that destroys our heating and our air conditioning every single summer and winter. Huge windows, which is a major, major issue 60 years down the line for heating and air conditioning issues. And the floor, I think they just got bored. I just don't think they finished it. See, if you would ask that, someone's going to answer. And then it's like, no, who made that? Who made that tree? Who made the grass? Well, the non-existent grass. Who made the snow? Who does that? A smart kid will immediately ask that question, whose is all of this? And somebody's going to have to answer for that. And if they tell him, oh, it just happened. It was miraculous. There's something called nature. So the kid is going to say, then nature is my God. I'm going to pray to nature and thank nature and daven. That's the thing that I'm going to believe in. That's the issue. We're so into where everything has just existed. We don't even think about it. Really, the whole world is through random mutations, random collisions, random things happening, and it's this perfect? It's unbelievably perfect? That's crazy. It's crazy. A machine cannot form itself. And Rabbi Akiva said this is not just Stam. The inkblot test is not like a philosophical made up in the 18th century by some guy named Kant. It was Rabbi Akiva. It's a medrash. A min came to Rabbi Akiva, some say it was Ternus Rufus, and asked Rabbi Akiva, how do you know that the world was created by a God? And Rabbi Akiva said, who made your shirt? And he said, a weaver. He said, I don't believe you. Show me the weaver. He said, everybody knows that a shirt is made by a weaver. Rabbi Akiva said, that's the concept. Everybody knows that the world was made by a God. It has to be this way. There's no way that a person can think anything else. And that's the pshat. If we were only born to think, if we were only born thinking individuals, we'd come into the world, we'd ask the right questions, we'd get there without being so used to everything the way that it is, getting everything out there. So what's pshat? If it's so easy that we're expecting a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old to get it immediately, it's so easy, it's like a give-me mitzvah. It's like a mitzvah that I don't even have to try for. It's a mitzvah that's automatic. It's already there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a mitzvah, Leida Ulamin, to know and believe that there is a God, and it's already in our heads. It's not even a challenge. So how are there people out there that don't get it? How is there an Aristotle? How are there philosophers that didn't get it? How could you mess up that badly? And the answer is obvious. The Torah mentions it. Ki ha-shochad, shochad, because bribery, ya'aver enei pikchim, blinds the eyes of those people that are wise. You could be as wise as you want. You could be the smartest man in the world. But if you have shochad, if you have money that's telling you otherwise, you're not going to be able to think straight. Chazal tell us this is not just me or you. This is even Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. If Moshe Rabbeinu would get a coin and it would go into his pocket, he would not be able to think clearly in a case. He wouldn't be able to do it properly. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, even the greatest Navi who's ever lived, even the greatest, maybe the greatest person who's ever lived, even someone like him cannot take a bribe. And certainly, somebody who is a smart person, who is bribed by his taiva, by his in, innate base desires, that person will be bribed by what he thinks is right and will not be able to think straight. He'll be swayed by a simple, single little cookie. One little cookie is going to throw him completely off if it's a pork cookie. And he just can't, he can't hold himself back. Your rut zone, your drive, your desire, your willpower is more powerful than anything else in the world, as we've spoken about before. You can push yourself to do anything and to not believe in anything. If you don't want to believe there's a God, there won't be a God, no matter what HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows you. You could have clouds in the sky that form themselves to say, I am here, love God, and you have meteorologists that are going to get up there on Channel 7 News. They're going to be like, oh man, it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy stuff in the air this day. Lots of pictures being taken. Yeah, we know it's not real. And they'll go on. They won't think anything else of it. Maybe Fox will catch it, but nobody else will catch it. Nobody else will see anything. They're just going to sit there and say, yeah, it's not, it's whatever it is. And the bigger the desire, the more you want to do something, the more you have a taiva for something, the harder it is to be able to sit there and do anything else. You become drunk. You become absolutely drunk because you can't allow God's expectations to get in the way of what you want to do. I want to do this. If there's a God that's telling me not to, I don't want to listen. So when I'm thinking and I'm wondering, is there a God? Why would I want there to be a God if I'm already in this mode? I can't do it. To you, 2 + 2 is simply put, it's 5. And you can't stop yourself from doing this. And that's why it's lo sesuachoi levavchem. It's not your brain that's messing you over. Your brain is letting you think. Your brain is thinking. Your brain is trying to get you to make the right decisions. It's your heart, the seat of your desires, the blood that's pumping through your veins that's making you want to do something. Your rut zone, which is seated here, that's what you can't go after. You can't go after your rut zone, your lave when it comes to this. Because if you do, your tithes are going to take you to the wrong place. It's your brain that you have to leave as is. You already have it in there. It's ingrained within you. Every single person in the world has godliness and a belief in God, and pure emunah is there. You just got to make sure that your heart doesn't get in the way. You got to make sure that your brain is in charge and that you're thinking in the proper way. And then all of a sudden everything comes in the right way. The seichel has no chance otherwise. A non-Jew is expected to realize this. A non-Jew is expected to know and realize and take for himself and say to himself, this is not what I should be doing. There is no person in the world who thinks that murder is mutter. They might excuse it, but there's no way they think that it's mutter, that it's the best thing to do, or avodah zarah, or gilui arayos, or having a false court system, or any of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. Every single one makes sense in a way, even Avraham Min HaChai, which is cruelty. No non-Jew thinks that it's normal or sensible to be cruel. So if a non-Jew doesn't do that, that means they're allowing their desires to overcome their mind. And any person who allows themselves to do that, that's a person who gets punished. And that's the problem. The non-Jew is not punished by going up to Shemayim and they say, you had Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. The non-Jew is punished because they said, why did you allow yourself to do such a thing? Why weren't you thinking? You have to be a thinking human being. Now do you understand when Ramosha says, and Ramosha brings in Igros Moshe, when somebody asked him if it was mutter to do pot, is it mutter to do to smoke marijuana? Is that mutter or not? And one of the reasons Ramosha said it was usher is because you have no heter to stop yourself from being a thinking human being. Everyone says, where is that from? Well, what does that mean? You have to be a thinking human being? Who says you have to be a thinking human being? That's because our entire lives are about being thinking human beings. It's literally the first mitzvah of the Torah. To not allow your base desires to take hold of your brain. To not allow yourself to stop thinking. You can't do that. If you do that and you stop thinking and you just go with your desires, you've got a problem. That's the whole issue in the first place. You won't be able to think straight. Then what do you want to do with yourself? A min once asked Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, came up to him and he said, why don't you follow what the Torah says? Torah says, Achori Rabban Lahatos. Go after the robe, go after the majority. The majority of the world is not Jewish. The majority of the world is Christian. So follow the robe. Come follow us. You should be following us instead of us. This is the law in your Torah. You have to go after the Rove. Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz said, you only go after the Rove by a suffix. This is not a suffix. If I had a doubt if there was a God or there wasn't a God, I'd go with the Rove. But I'm not in doubt. I'm not in doubt. I have a Vadai, and therefore your issue, your Sheker, doesn't beat my Vadai, even if many, many people are going with that Sheker. Says Rav Elchanan, this answer could be the exact same thing. It could be a pure answer to Rav Yonasan's, to this Min's question. He says, yeah, in Echanami, normally you go after the Rove, but you can't go after the Rove when they're not thinking. That's not a majority. They don't even count. You can't count these people. It's like a guy walking by a bar where every single person is drunk as a loon and everybody's on the floor reveling in their own throw-up. And everybody's just sitting there together, like partying and holding there. And a guy goes up to him and he says, the only sane person there, and says, you should be drinking. And he's like, I'm not going to be drinking. He's like, we're all drinking. You should be drinking too. You're not going to go after the Rove there. They're crazy people. That's a Purim party gone bad. There's no way I'm going after the Rove in such a case. I might be the mute, but that's not when we say Achorei Rav Mahatos. You don't go after people that aren't thinking. You can't follow those such people. That's the concept to answer such a question. So how do you defeat your base taiva? What do you do to get rid of your base taiva? So I have the simplest answer in the world. It's given by the Chafetz Chaim. It's not mentioned by Rav Elchanan, but it's given by the Chafetz Chaim. By far, simplest answer in the world. You just got to do it. Chumash, Rashi. That's it. There's no extra frills, not anything crazy. Chumash, Rashi. If you don't do Chumash Rashi yet, there is no greater way of building your Amunah than Chumash Rashi. And you might think to yourself, what do you mean, Chumash Rashi? I'm going to read through Bereishis, the first 30 Pesukim in Bereishis, 31 Pesukim in Bereishis. I'm going to have every question in the world. What, the world really started 5,777 years ago? What, really, that the world was created in 6 days? Well, I don't understand it. This doesn't make any sense to me. Was there really light on the first day if the sun and the moon and the stars weren't created until day 4? How is that possible? Says the Chafetz Chaim, learn Chumash Rashi. Just learn Chumash and just learn Rashi. You will have no problems with Emunah. Your Emunah will be set for the rest of your life. Just read it and do it. And if you already do Shnayim Mikra V'Alpa Targum, awesome. If you don't do Rashi yet, do Rashi. And if you want to do it even more so, figure something out. I have Chumash in my office, the art scroll with all the extra things. So when the high school takes our art scrolls, don't worry. I always have two available in my office at all times that are available for anybody to take at any time. Just Chumash Rashi. You have an extra hour. You're sitting there at night sitter. You're not sure what to do because there's not this Rebbe around or that Rebbe around and whatever it is, right? You have an extra hour. You don't have a class. Your class got canceled. And you're sitting there like, you know what? What am I going to do for the next hour? Take out a Chumash and just read Chumash Rashi, whether it's in the Parsha or whether it's a different Parsha. It doesn't matter to me. Chafetz Chaim said specifically Sefer Bereishis was the best for Amunah. I don't think it matters. I'm not the Chafetz Chaim and I don't get to argue, but I don't think I'm worried about the Chafetz Chaim's level of Amunah either. So, simple Amunah. Start from regular Chumash and start going on. And that's the concept. So we answered all four questions. Achorei Levavchem, because of Taiva. Expecting a 13-year-old, because it's obvious. When we say, what was our third question over here? The first mitzvah is Leida Olahamin? Yeah, because it's such an easy mitzvah. It's literally like a giveaway to us. It's already in our heads. Our mitzvah is to not let our heart get involved. A Ben Noach is expected to know you have to think. You have to be a thinking human being. To get through those, now you understand the concept of what Amunah stands for. Then we get into the level of Bitachon, and that will start for next week.